You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. Hard to believe. Just about 3 weeks left in this month. Almost June. Also, to kind of help you get going in that direction, OTAs. Got plenty of Saints news to get into, as some of your New Orleans Saints hitting the links. The Saints Hall of Fame golf tournament taking place today and going on right now. What some of the folks had to say on that, which we'll get into here in a little bit. Also, got plenty to get into when it comes to the NBA playoffs. It's so funny, nationally, everyone is still wondering and waiting for, you know, a game. All of the games have been blowouts. A 41-point defeat yesterday by Houston. And here we go. We're right back at it, right? Game one, Western Conference Finals, the Warriors. They cannot be stopped. Game two, Houston wins. Aha! Steph Curry's hurt. Something's wrong with him. What does he do in game three? Yeah, all he does is drop 35 points. And now everyone is, there's nothing the Rockets can do. Warriors, yeah. It's game four tonight of the Eastern Conference Finals, Cleveland and Boston. LeBron, 27 points in game three. That was a beating, 116-86 back on Saturday. So, yeah, I just want to see a close game in any of those, right? We'll talk a little bit about that coming up, 2:30. Dino Hanson's going to join us, and we'll chat a little hoops. We'll take your phone calls throughout the day at 800-998-1003. Jordan, feel free to just throw that out there as an opinion poll here as well. You know, thoughts on the NBA playoffs so far? Seeing a lot of folks, saw Scott Kushner of The Advocate tweet, they've been this year. I mean, other than like the Pels run, and they swept Portland. It wasn't a game six or seven. They swept, and then they lost 5-1. I guess they have been pretty bad, haven't they, when you take a look at it? Haven't really gotten a lot of close series, sixes or seven games. Not really seeing any of that. Anyway, we'll touch on that here in a little bit. Here's your guest list coming up, because college baseball, the regular season is wrapped up and the conference games start tomorrow or Wednesday in a couple of these conference tournaments. Brian Johnson, 12:45. If you were following Twitter on Saturday, you had to have been confused. The Colonels didn't make it. Then they made it. Wait, hold on. Maybe they didn't make it. No, I think we did. They made it. That's how it was, honestly. Saturday up and down. It was crazy. We spoke with Brian Thursday. We spoke with Brian Friday. All the different things that the Colonels had to do to get in and other things had to happen. Well, it all happened. Even though Nichols at first thought they didn't make it. They'll explain. Well, he will at 12:45. Alex Asaro at 1:30 from Neutral Grounders. The podcast has joined us all college baseball season. He really focuses on the local teams. We'll try to go over what's going on in the tournament, because as we've talked about the last several weeks, and especially last week, one of the things that's very, very interesting this year is you have teams battling to try to make it into postseason play, where in years past you've had as many as five, and six were trying to push into regional play. The LSU Fighting Tigers, they came up short at Auburn. Both losses with double digits, runs given up, that is, 11-4 and 14-5. They did win 6-2, but they lost their season series to Auburn there. So they went an entire baseball season without winning one series, an SEC play on the road. Interesting, right? They take on Mississippi State tomorrow at 4:30. Cody Warsham is going to join us at 2:15 to chat about not only that, but also Billy Cannon passing away yesterday at the age of 80. A lot of people obviously remembering him yesterday. But also, it's our first chance, really, especially me, and I'll throw my opinions and thoughts as well, as it became official Friday, right after the show ended, Joe Burrow committed to LSU, the grad transfer, the quarterback. And it's just, again, I'll have my thoughts on that coming up here in a little bit, because depending on what message board you look at, now mind you, the guy didn't play games at Ohio State, right? Like, you really have a huge sample size as to what he can do. He sat behind JT Barrett, looked like he was going to lose the battle this year to be the quarterback there. He's got 2 years left, yet he's going to come to LSU and be a savior. I kind of want to look at it from a different perspective on, and I'm asking you, LSU fans, do you agree with the move or not, if that makes any sense? Because I've heard, like, Matt's talked about it. Terrio last week on Matt Moscone's show wasn't too happy about it. And again, I text back and forth with Marlon on Friday, and I'm looking forward to getting his opinion here. We can talk about it on the air at 2:05. Marlon Fairbairn is going to join us, not only OTAs, but also on this decision here. It's more about a message to me. What does that message sort of come across? Is it more, Coach O, I'm saving my rear end? What message is it sent to the locker room? Or is it just, you know, hey, just win, baby, sort of thing? You know, the Raiders' old motto, hey, it's just win. Got to bring in the best players we can. Now, again, there's no sample size. I'm like, you can't look at it and go, hey, he was something as a starter, or he did this at Ohio State. You just, I get he was Mr. Ohio in high school. I get all of that. I'm talking about college games. What did he do? No different than the guys that you have in the locker room right now. I'm just saying, they hadn't played. You could say Brennan did it. Here's my thing with Miles Brennan. You brought him in most of the time last year when Danny Etling and the offense were struggling. You brought in a kid that's never played before. It's a freshman. Uh-oh, offense is good. Get in there. Make it happen. I'm just saying that's what you did, which is why I said after the Bama loss, you should have started Miles Brennan the rest of the season. You should have started Miles Brennan into the bowl game. You had nothing to lose. But you at the very least could have seen if this kid can do it or not. Give him a couple of weeks of practice reps, game reps. Let's see what happens. I don't know. I get the move and understanding, and I heard Matt last week say, well, look, you have to at least take the phone call. I get it. But at the same time, what does it tell your team? What does it tell that position group? What does it say about the guys that have been there, have worked out, have sweat, have done everything you've asked them to, and basically you told them, I don't buy it? I mean, again, that's how I just look at it. It's just all you could ever want as an athlete or as a member on any team is your coach's word that you will determine whether or not you can play or not. And if you want to tell me, well, spring practice, Gus, look at the spring game. Wow. That's where we're deciding whether or not this anybody can play? I mean, Lowell Narcisse never started a game for LSU. McMillan hasn't started a game. Hasn't played quarters. But you're deciding that a guy that hasn't done the same thing at Ohio State's better than what you have. It just, I don't know, just coach him up. Give them an opportunity. Again, that to me, it's just, I lean more towards the side of screams of a coach with a little desperation going into year two fully as a head coach. That's what it comes across at. I understand it. Look, and I've gotten, you know, I had this discussion over the weekend. Some people say, well, look what Saban did. Look what Saban did. Yeah, that was for the national championship. That was in the national championship game, and his starting quarterback was struggling. He made a switch at halftime. And everyone sort of knew what that guy can sort of do, and he's had an entire season to see that quarterback at practice and in games and things of that nature to know what it is. This is different. Do not say those are the same things to me. I mean, even Matt said it best. I say, for all these people go, well, Joe's better. How do you know? Even he said it. We don't know. No one's seen him playing games. So I find that interesting. It's like, hey, the kids that went through spring ball, he was here last year. I mean, from Narcisse to Brad, I just find that, what message does it send? Because all you have as a player in the locker room is your coach's word. When he's telling you, hey, it's us against the world, you go out there, you do what we need to do. Learn this play, work out hard. They're sweating, they're hitting the weight room, and all of a sudden look, and again, you can say, well, it's more competition. It adds to the competition. Okay. If you think he chose LSU and not to go somewhere else without him basically being promised a starting job, then you don't know how this works. Because why would he go somewhere else to sit again? That's why he's leaving Ohio State, because of the fear that he might have to sit again. That's why he's transferring. He wants to go somewhere where he believes he's not going to sit. So again, I get the reason you take the visit. I get the reason why you do it, because it's about winning at the end of the day for that guy and that job. But I think it sends the wrong message to me. That's just me, my opinion. Love to hear from you, Tiger fans. Do you like the move or not? You know, because remember what it means. I mean, what if one or two of those guys now say, peace, I'm out. It just, what message in the locker room does it sort of send to not even only the quarterbacks in that room, but anybody else on that team? Because the first thing that kind of popped in my head when that happened too is like, I'm like, well, you know what? If that's the case, then I'm just a piece. And then if I'm not expendable, then yeah, you know what? Pay me. I mean, I guess you're promising them. And those kids have lost eligibility, or they've lost time in their careers and their ability to do it. Again, let me see. All a player could want is let me see. Let me see what I can do. If in a couple of games this season they come out and they don't perform, I get it. But can you honestly tell me that you know what Miles Brennan can give you? When most of the time, I'd say 60, 70, if not 80% of the time, you brought him onto the field last year, it was when Danny Etling in the office wasn't doing well. It wasn't uneven Stevens, you know, sort of thing. Hey, let's go see what you can do. Move the team down the field. Nothing, or 3-0. No, it was the offense hasn't gotten a first down. Go save us, kid. And so you forced him in a position to go make plays. I don't know. It's to me, it just screams of why, again, that was probably not the best hire. No. And that's just me. You can give me your opinions on that. We're also going to talk about coming up next segment. It is a big deal. It is, right? But New Orleans, given the opportunity this week in the NFL owners' meetings in Atlanta to solidify, seal, sign, and deliver the 2024 Super Bowl. I want to say it's 58. In the past, teams have had to bid against other cities, right? It was a finalist. It was like 5, then to 3, and then maybe even to 2, and then they'd have votes. They'd break it down, right? Remember, we'd follow it all day. New Orleans get a bid. Now they have to go redo it again, and all the voting, and everyone's promising this and that. Well, the NFL sort of changed that recently. Now it's just, hey, one city, we're going to invite you to bid for it. Close it. Nick Underhill wrote a nice piece from The Advocate talking with Jay Cicero, Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. They're responsible for making sure those bids take place and presenting to the owners. How it's a little different. How maybe you would think, hey, if you're the only city, you can't lose it. I like what they said, though, in that piece. They're like, well, it's a lot of pressure, and it's different in this. If you don't bring it home, what does it say? And you're trying to look forward to 2024, which is a few years from now. And remember, the Dome right now currently has a little commission in which they're trying to find out the renovations or maybe additions or things to do to the Dome. Anywhere between $150 to $500 million. Remember? They're now doing, the most recent thing is they're doing sort of like an x-ray of the area and the facility and a digital readout of what they can do. And a report's going to be coming out here soon as to some recommendations. Lop off the roof. Take away those, I've said this already, those parking garages, peace, see ya. They're gone. You can move everything out. You can widen concourse. You can do a lot more when those parking lots are gone. You take that empty lot that's over on the side to where the, you know, the parking lot to the old mall used to be. Boom. Build me another garage there. That's where all that parking can go. Now you could expand there. You can just do a lot with that footprint. And I've always said, if you have that footprint now, how would you reimagine it? If you literally had nothing on that site, just that massive square or rectangle area, how would you reimagine it? How would you do it? How would you change it? So, yeah, it's anywhere between $150 to $500 million. So it's weird because you're putting that bid together, they were saying in Nick's story. Well, where you may want a concert, you want to make something, and a parking lot may not be there. You know, maybe instead of having music and things of that nature like they used to have in the Super Bowl. And they've had it the last couple of times, 2013, the last time New Orleans had one. You had it next by Jackson Brewery. You've had that, right? They had sort of like a Super Bowl Central there. Well, maybe if you have more open space there, it's closer to the dome. Who knows? So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. Plus, as I mentioned, Saints OTA week number one, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Media gets to check out the Thursday practice. So it's OTA number three. 3 weeks of that. And then on the fourth week, it is mini camp. I know everyone's looking forward to that. In the past, minicamp has been open to the public. So that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, again, barring, you know, rain, but it's open. I mean, it's been open as long as I can remember. So that'll be your first chance to go check out the team. And this Thursday will be our first chance to kind of see all the rookies and everybody kind of putting together and guys that got injured last year, they coming back. And again, I get it. It's shorts and, you know, and helmets, no pads. I understand that, but people are going to know how they look at. So I'm looking forward to seeing some of that as well. Plus, Cam Jordan was on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. And he had some fun things to talk about here as well. Plus, the Preakness justify wins, not by the wide margin at the Derby. Fought off good magic there. We'll hear that call. We'll touch on that as well. Again, Brian Johnson, Alex Asaro, Cody Worsham, Dino Hansen, Todd Graffanini. To talk a little college baseball, little hoops, and, of course, some other tidbits that comes to LSU as well. So, Tiger fans, I definitely want to hear from you as well what you think about that. Don't forget, hour number one is brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, you want to ring the King. 504-909-KING, kinginjuryfirm.com. They specify in personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, and workers' comp as well. Free consultation calls are not going to cost you a nickel, a dime, or a penny. They'll talk to you. 504-909-KING when you ring the King. Hour one underway. You got us all the way to 3 o'clock right here on ESPN New Orleans. Join the intern putting it up there at ESPN Radio NOLA. LSU fans, the move to bring in quarterback Joe Burrow is what? Unfair to current QBs? Just win, baby. The old Raiders motto. Sends a bad message to the team. And again, I kind of explained that in terms of, to me, that message is, hey, no matter how hard you work, I'm looking elsewhere. We can't win here. Can't win with playing good defense. We can't develop our guys. You know what I'm getting at? That's the only reason why, I mean, sort of speaks a little desperation to me. I could be so wrong on this. I'm just... To me, that's kind of what it looks like. I don't know what those guys can do. They haven't played for me. And again, it's just difficult to me to say, well, yeah, I can see they're just not that good. Well, conversely, are you that convinced then what you're seeing on the other side of the ball, or whether a defense or another position players, that it is good? I don't know. And you have a lot of those receivers that you got in the class, right? That are supposed to be among the top. You've never seen them play. You're assuming and hoping they work out. And these are the quarterbacks that you went out and recruited. These are the quarterbacks that you went out there and did as well. 800-998-1003. The final portion of the poll as well is the more competition, the better. So 800-998-1003 to the phone lines we go. Lee, thanks for giving us a call here. What you got, buddy?
Hey, guys, man. Good weekend. Look, mm-hmm. I want to comment on this LSU thing, man. Sure. I agree with you 100%. I do agree with you, but I want to add on to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're telling me if you got to bring in another quarterback that has just as much experience as Miles Brennan, and you bringing them in to compete, you had to tell this man, because he chose you over Cincinnati. Cincinnati don't have a quarterback per se. You must have told this guy he's going to start. If you're my guy, I mean, if you pick us, we're going to pick you. We're going to put you in the lineup. And then at the worst case scenario, you have to share the quarterback duties with another quarterback, maybe at some point in the season, but you're going to be the primary starter. He had to promise that, because, hey, look, you know this and I know this. If you can play ball, the NFL is going to find you. I mean, this dude he could have gone quarterback at Regina if he wanted to. And if he still wanted to play in the NFL, have a shot at playing in the NFL, you just need to get on the field and put together some tape. So LSU had to promise him that he was going to start. Mm-hmm. That he will be in the number one spot, and the only way he will lose the number one spot is if he's outshined by the quarterbacks underneath him. That's where I'm going with it. I just don't see where it makes sense, because my thing is, you know it, Gus. As a quarterback, the only way you could do analysis all day, you could know the playbook all day long, but until you get out there on the field and do it, you got to do it. You got to get the reps. So bringing in another arm, all it does is take away reps from one of the guys that you thought was going to be the future for LSU quarterback.
Right.
So that's my issue with it. You know, other than that, like I said, I wish him the best.
Cool. Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the phone call. You know, and again, here's my thing, and I kind of go to this standpoint, too. If you thought you didn't like what you saw already, I mean, again, two of those guys, three, right? It's not like they just walked on the campus so you didn't know. Brennan played a little bit last year, right? Narcisse was there as well. McMillan was there. This isn't a situation where all these guys are freshmen. You saw them for over a year now. If you didn't think they were that good, wouldn't recruiting a quarterback would have been that much more important? And I understand they missed out on one, but you would have made darn sure, wouldn't you, that you got somebody? Again, that's all I'm saying. That's why I say sort of reeks of desperation here. It kind of comes across to me as a coach that's trying to save his butt because you need a quarterback. Everyone's saying you need a quarterback. Everyone saw this spring game in practice. Maybe you don't have one. Shouldn't you kind of already know that by May? That's all I'm getting at it. And again, I'm looking at it as you're promising the ability and the chance for these kids to go out there and do it. And you don't have anything. You don't have any sample size to know if these guys can work for you or not. You don't know if McMillan can play for you. You don't know if Narcisse can play for you. And if anything, you're like, well, isn't that sort of your job? To coach them up, to bring them up. I could be wrong on this. It's just I didn't care for it when I looked at it from that perspective. And if anything, it just comes across to me as, oh, it's just I'm trying to put out the, you get the sense and feeling that maybe a little smoke feels like a bigger fire. Does that make sense? Right? I mean, a year ago, we're bringing in this offensive coordinator. I love him to death. You basically had a patchwork, the relationship by game three last year, the AD had to have a sit down with you. We're going to bring in this Ensminger. It's not the guy that a lot of people thought. It's now the old quarter. I don't know. It's just, it doesn't come across like you have a plan or an idea. I understand it in that I need a win, but that's what I'm saying. It comes across like, oh, first. Now, is that wrong? I don't know. As a fan, you're expecting that, right? That's what you're paying the money for, the TAF. That's what you collect the money for, and you know that's where you have the big tailgating area. It's to win. I understand that. It's just I don't know. I'm asking you as fans, what do you think of it? D from Metairie wants to chime in. Thanks for calling the Sports Hangover 800-998-1003. What you got, bud? Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, okay. Dean.
Okay, cool, man. What's up?
No big deal. Listen, you're going to see Vince Manuel, who's a passing coach, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're going to a different scheme. So that eliminates Florian Ortiz immediately because he's a running quarterback, mostly running quarterback, mm-hmm. okay? Then Justin McMillan was a three-star that you had to get to put on your team. He should not be quarterbacking LSU. Not no disrespect to Jesse,
right.
But he hasn't done nothing in the 3 years he was here because he's not expected to be your star. You bring in Miles Brennan, who has all the stats and everything. But remember, he did not play for a big division in Mississippi. If you remember, a mediocre Brother Martin team crushed his behind a couple of years ago. He might not be the guy you want to be. Now you have a chance to get a bona fide Mr. Football, a bona fide four-star, the kind of quarterback that an LSU should get, and he's on your doorstep, step on a silver platter, you get it. If it makes somebody mad or if it gets anybody upset, too bad. You know why? Because money is on the line. Coach O's job is on the line. And all kind of stuff is on the line this year because LSU's ranked 25th right now when a team like LSU should be in the top 10. And the only way they can get there is with talent. And right now, quarterback, we don't have it, and we don't have it proven. So if Joe Montana's son was the greatest in the world and he wanted to come to LSU, I don't care who we have at quarterback, you have him come because it's all about winning. Thanks, fellas.
No, there it is. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's probably what a lot of LSU fans sort of feel like. But that is what it boils down to. I mean, he just said it, right? I mean, Jordan, you're nodding your head right there. I mean, that's what this move says. We have to win. This move says, and look, you know, Mr. Ohio, like you said, best quarterback in there. It's got the size, the stature, the potential, the arm and stuff. And he's not coming from a school that probably hasn't maybe developed them a little bit. I get it. That's why I'm asking the question. Because, you know, again, if you're of that mindset in school of, hey, it's just win at all costs and win, you know, however it is. It's just because it's just interesting, right? In December and February when it's National Signing Day, now you have two, right? These kids are great. I mean, you love them. And the second they don't perform, get rid of them. Bring in somebody else. It's just interesting how that works that way. And again, I'm not maybe trying to put any more to it than what it is. It's just, hey, look, I understand the move because to move to me is absolutely Coach O going, I need a quarterback. The only thing that I think makes it interesting is in the last time, you know, the last year or so of Miles, I mean, you know, when Frank Wilson let me, O was pretty involved, if not leading recruiting in a lot of, I mean, these are quarterbacks and guys that you guys brought in. You know what I mean? That's my whole thing. It's not like O came in and just inherited these quarterbacks. He sort of did, and that Miles was doing it as well, but he was part of that recruiting process. And if anything, you would know. And again, you're going almost 2 years on some of these guys. McMillan, as you brought up, Pete, you know, it's been there a little bit. You would know. You would know by now. If not, if that's the case, man, quarterback is absolutely what you need to land. And they didn't. That's the only reason I'm bringing this up is if you're so desperate here in May, because this is what it is. Again, you can argue with me or not. It's a desperation move. You're like, hey, we're hoping this guy that hasn't played and started games in college, we're hoping he's better than what we have. If that's the case, then in December and February, your absolute priority was to bring in a quarterback, not to develop, but to start for you this year. Like at all costs. Forget the receiver, the running back, at all costs. If you're going in May 19th, to get a commit from a guy that's not a starter, and you're hoping he is your starter, and it just tells me in December and February, you darn sure better have gotten a quarterback then. That's the only thing that stands out to me like that from that perspective. And again, I mean, in talking to former players and in covering sports for as long as I do, man, that bond, that word that you have. Now, believe me, I understand. Players today understand it's a business, right? That's why coach in a smaller – we saw it at UCF. Went undefeated. Bailed to Nebraska. I mean, that's how it works. Kids know that. That it's about winning for their coach. That's why some start – I mean, you see it in college baseball at LSU, right? I mean, you go in a slump, bring in the next guy. I mean, I get it. It's about winning when you get to that level. I get it. But I still think at the end of the day that bond, that word that you have with those guys that go in and put in the work and put in the effort. And again, I think this is just slightly a little bit different from this perspective. We haven't seen those guys playing games. We haven't seen a body of work. Now, again, they see them more than I do at practice. If they're saying, look, no, we can't go to the season with that, again, but it circles back my original point. Well, then, man, that really needed to be your priority. I mean, you need to absolutely land a quarterback. And it's not that they didn't try. I get it. But they didn't. And they didn't bring in top receivers in the country, like the number one overall receiver. So what does that tell me? Now, that's why I'm just confused by this. You have potentially another two or three, I'm being told, NFL receivers. Again, the potential to be. And you couldn't land anybody up until May. Now, you did? You did? Okay. That's why I'm just throwing it out there. What's your opinion on it? Do you like the move? Do you not? Do you think it's desperation? Do you think, hey, just win, baby? Like Pete said. And again, there's no wrong answer here. Because it happened and it's what it is. It's just, it's where we are. Because I don't think anybody knows that college football isn't a business. But it is. I mean, that's a business move. That was a business decision. Oh, dude, these dudes want me out of here now. Right? But again, it just, from the get-go, it just seemed very piecemeal so far. Now, they go out and they win. Things settle down. They got a tough schedule. You went out and did it. I'm just saying that you're going to have at least one or two transfer now. I mean, that's happening. Narcisse, Brennan, I get it. You know, and to Pete's point, some of those quarterbacks don't fit the system. Well, you just hired the offensive coordinator. You just made another hire. So wouldn't you bring in a guy that best suits the quarterbacks you have on your roster? It all comes across very piecemeal to me. And it's just my opinion. 800-998-1003, hour number one, brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. Go get all the information at kinginjuryfirm.com. Videos, you can meet the attorneys, click the About Us section. Gives you an idea what they're, you know, capable of and what they specify in, like personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp, the works. Go do that. When we come back, we'll touch a little bit more on the Saints. We'll hear from Cam Jordan, who was on Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. And he was asked the question, how important is this season for the Saints? Is it make or break? Is it, hey, let's see how far we can go? Did he like that last step last year? We'll touch on that. He made a comment on Noodle Arm and his $100 million contract. You got to love that as well. We'll just getting started. Brian Johnson, 12:45, 1:30. Alex Asaro will go over all of the teams getting ready for tournament action this week in college baseball. Marlon Favre at 2:05 will talk about this specifically with a Tiger and a guy that's close to Coach O. And we discussed this on Friday. I think you might be surprised where he stands. Cody Worsham, 2:15. Dino Hansen, 2:30. Todd Graffanini, 2:45 as the Wave. They're getting ready for their tournament. Their game's moved up, too. That system in the Gulf won't move from Florida, and it's affected a lot of what's going on over there. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Yes, always good to know that at the Saints Golf Tournament, Pelicans basketball news. Pelicans basketball news. Jordan, the intern, will get your contribution today. How you doing? How was your weekend? Are you ready to give me a better week? Because last week was...
I think I did a fantastic job last week.
It was terrible. But
what did I do wrong?
Here's the thing. It's a new week. You never know how it can go. It can only be better than last week. It can only be better.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, all right. Here's your first opportunity. Give me the bit of Pels news that Will Guillory, TitusPicuno.com, tweeted. Because, again, the Saints are having their Hall of Fame golf tournament going on over there in Kenna. And Alvin Gentry there. I saw the photos of Coach Gentry and Coach Payton just, chatting in the parking lot behind Coach Payton's car there. They were just catching up, seeing how things are going. We're efforting to get Coach Gentry. We're going to have him on. We're trying to get him on for a couple of segments here to talk hoops, Pels, and try to learn guys like...
Previous Suns teams?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, again, just, learn about some of the players pre-Jordan's days. And I meant Jordan the intern. I still can't believe you never watched Jordan play, but...
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know you had nothing to do with that. I mean, you were born in 98. It's just crazy. Like, I looked at you, and you were like, I wish I would have seen him play last week. And I'm like, what? And then it's true. Yeah. I mean, there's a whole generation. Because you're a sophomore in college. You're going to be a sophomore in college.
You tweet.
You have opinions. You're going into the business. It's nuts. That's what I'm saying, though. That's why I think the comparison of Jordan and LeBron. A lot of times when I see and read, man, no one's ever done it. I'm like, have you watched Jordan highlights? Or not even him, but they were other players that had shots off the glass. Larry Bird had some great shots.
Yeah, the NBA didn't start in 2003.
Right, it did not start in 2003. But no, but again, your reference is just that. Like for me, my reference is what I saw at Jordan. And I have guys like my dad, somebody over the weekend said, dude, you Pistol Pete. I mean, I get that a ton. Everyone loves Curry, and you didn't see Pistol Pete. I mean, you didn't see him dribble the ball. You know, so I hear that. Same thing, Kareem. It's unstoppable. Everyone says Shaq, yeah, but guy could not miss. So, you know, it depends the era. It depends what you saw, and you can remember it. And I don't have the reference from some of the other ones. But Coach Gentry over today at the Saints Hall of Fame Golf Classic. What do you say, Jordan?
There's not one single player, person, coach, or in the basketball operations department or ownership that doesn't want him back, meaning Boogie Cousins.
Aha! There it is. Here's the breaking news.
That's awesome.
Okay, so what do you take out of that? Let's see, how do you learn here?
That he's going to be coming back.
That's not what he said at all.
I'm taking it as he's coming back.
No, see?
Even though he kind of hurt my feelings last week.
Why did he hurt your feelings?
He unfollowed the Pels.
He unfollowed the Pels. Again, I think this is exactly what we've been saying. Of course they want him back.
But at the right price.
At the right price. See, I would agree with you with him saying, of course he's coming back if he says what they said in years past, in a year ago, with Jrue Holiday. Jrue Holiday was always, we're bringing him back. With Jrue Holiday, it was, we're doing whatever
at
we need
costs
to do. Yeah, exactly right. Him and Dell Demps left you no doubt that he was coming back. He said, of course we want him back. Of course they're not going to say we don't want him back. But you have yet to see at all costs. You have yet to see, hey, here's the other thing. Of course they're not going to say that. There's negotiations. But aren't you interested in this? Sometimes words and phrases kind of give you a little hint or feelings, right? And we touched last week how DeMarcus is on a more on the emotional side of things, right? He admitted in the article, The Undefeated, on Thursday, the reason he unfollowed, because he didn't want to read stuff about should the Pels pay him or not, should the Pels bring him back or not, are the Pels better with him or not, and it bothered him, so he unfollowed. Again, to a lot of us listening, that's a little petty.
You just keep scrolling.
But, exactly, right. Oh, great. Gus stinks. Magical. I mean, now my point is, what you haven't seen is either Gentry or Demps come out and say, we believe that he will be this under the column of health. We believe DeMarcus can come back and be who he is. We can't wait to see. And of course we want him back. We think he's going to be as good as he was. We believe our medical team feels he's going to be a good recovery. You get what I'm getting at? You've never really heard the Pels kind of give you a hint or feeling that they believe that it's going to be fine, right? Like, and always I'm using a compare and contrast here. The New Orleans Saints and head coach Sean Payton, first year as a head coach, he hadn't had a practice. And he banked his career, essentially, the start of it, with the guy with the bum shoulder in Drew Brees. But from the get-go, he believed, and he came out and said it, right? I believe he can. Marshawn Lattimore last year, right? Injury got, we got it. He'll be fine. They went in. Alex Okafor, Cam Meredith, this free agency. Yep. All he says, like, he's going to be healthy. We have every hope and faith. You get what I'm getting at? He's shown throughout his tenure here with the Saints that he will or has belief that a player that's injured will come back in here. I haven't heard that. Now, it could be wrong. They might have said it months ago. But especially right now where every comment is going to be analyzed and every comment means something in negotiations. That's the only thing I'm not hearing and seeing or missing. Right? Now, again, said a little bit more. And of course, you want his productivity. But I just... You get what I'm getting at? Like Demps or Gentry, Jordan, you see what I'm saying? At the end of the regular season presser, you never heard him say, hey, look, we believe that DeMarcus is going to be back 100%, strong.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, so we definitely want to bring him back. Or not even say we believe you're going to be back, because you don't know that answer. It's an Achilles, right? It's not an ACL. It's not a shoulder. It's not things that you know people can recover from and probably become that same. If anything, you've heard all along that people come back from this, they're not the same. But you didn't hear in that season-ending press conference from either man, hey, we look, of course we want him back. Now, you heard Coach Gentry say, we bring, you know, you want a guy that averages 26-13, you know. But then you didn't hear the comma after that. I go, and we believe that he can be that player again. To my knowledge, have you heard either man say, and we believe he can be that player again? I haven't.
And then he follows up with, there's just so many factors to enter into it.
Mm-hmm. See? Again, they want him back. Absolutely want him back. There's just, the factors are real simple. How will he be health-wise? How many years are you willing to guarantee it?
At max, I say two.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's what he means. But like, of course you want him back. Of course you want that player back. You want that player back if he's 25-13 or 26-13. Of course you want that back. Who doesn't want that back? Problem is, you don't know if you're going to get that back. And on the other camp, the Boogie camp, oh, I'm back. I'm back. 26-13? How about 30-16? That's what he's saying. So, anyway, there's your bit of Pels news. Quick break. We come back. Bryant Johnson will tell us about the wild weekend that was at Nichols. They were in. They were not in. And not in. Now they're in the Southland Conference Tournament. I mean, it is. I mean, it's how weird it was, how crazy it was. So we will we'll continue all of that when we come back. It is the Sports Hangover, Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans. You give me something I can hold on to. There he is, Bryant Johnson on Twitter. Bryant Johnson, when's the way to follow him on social media? He's the voice of the Colonels, and what a wild 3 days it was. We spoke back on Thursday about the fun that these next three games could be. You get the sweep, which is a bit historical in that aspect, but just go ahead and take us to Saturday before we go into the series, because you were in, you weren't in, you're in, and now you're in, you're not in, now you're in. Is that about how it covers on the Southland?
Yeah, you needed every single result to go your way in a three-day finale weekend, and somehow four teams involved for two spots in the tournament. Nichols gets help from all three. They sweep the number three team in the conference, and nobody knew it until about 5 p.m. Saturday afternoon. Coach Tibb, he finds out at a wedding that not only is Nichols in, but they've jumped past New Orleans into the seventh spot. And this is after leaving the ballpark, being under the impression that they were going to be just short. So when you mm-hmm. have these multi-team tiebreakers and you go to these second and third and fourth tier tiebreaking scenarios, who knows? Conference kept us in suspense. So it just added to all the more excitement when Coach was able to sidestep part of the wedding and assemble the team, and he shows up in his suit and says, hey guys, pack your bags, we're leaving tomorrow, we're going to Sugarland.
Yeah, that's why I had to have you on, because it was crazy. I was seeing people on Twitter going back, oh, they're not in, and somebody's like, no, they're in, and they're like, what are you talking about? You know, because like, I'm following Nichols' official Twitter too, and I'm like, it's nuts when you think about it. When you end the season, and mostly you think, Brian, that you can take care of your business, you can do that, but you have to sort of wait. But what does it say about getting that sweep this weekend? Because all you can control, Bryant, is what you do on the field.
Well, it's beautiful because it came down to how New Orleans and Texas A&M Corpus Christi fared against the number four team in the conference, which after this weekend was Central Arkansas. So that sweep is why Nichols made it not only as a 7 or 8 seed, but jumping New Orleans, who they had lost the previous weekend series to. Nichols ends up sliding past UNO to get that 7 seed and play Southeastern at noon on Wednesday. But it's all the more remarkable that you're down 4-1 in the third inning on Thursday, and you've given up 8 hits. And this is with a pitcher who wasn't supposed to pitch until Friday. Mm-hmm. Coach Tibb had to change his rotation Thursday morning when Alex Ernestine contracted a virus that actually affected another player, a designated hitter who was responsible for the first RBI in Thursday's game. Colonels didn't have Dylan Bell on Friday and Saturday. They didn't have their Thursday starter. They had to push Alex back to Friday. So Caden Hatcher shows up Wednesday morning thinking he's going to pitch on Friday, wakes up Thursday morning and finds out, no, this is your job tonight. We're going to need 125 pitches through 5 1/3 innings. Caden pulled it off, was able to keep the Colonels in the game, and then they walk it off in the ninth. They score 3 runs, and they go the final 23 innings, not allowing a single run to Central Arkansas. And they now finish with 3 players that had complete game shutouts. If nobody else had more than one in the conference. Nichols gets back-to-back on Friday and Saturday to win the series and make the playoffs. I mean, that's what's remarkable, is that Alex Ernestine and Jake Badavian back-to-back complete game shutouts to get you into the playoffs. Thank you.
And considering the last time they were on the field, Brian, I mean, you got swept by UNO. I mean, it's just it's crazy that, you don't give up on the season. You still feel you can go out there and do that. And then, again, you get those performances out there.
And you do it in a graduation weekend where you've got 9 seniors graduating Saturday morning. And since Ben Meyer Diamond at Didier Field banked Guidry Stadium, it felt like an unbelievable home field advantage this weekend. And Nichols actually finished with the 3rd-best record in the Southland in home games. They finished 19-10 at home. They finished the year winning. They went 16-9 in their last 25 games on the year. But when Central Arkansas's bus pulled in Saturday morning, there's nowhere to park. I mean, Guidry is it's like a Colonel football game, you know, on a Saturday afternoon in the fall. The place is packed. So Central Arkansas pulls up, and somebody apparently said, wow, Nichols is having their spring game really late in the year. This is they had no idea what was happening. They had to park down the way, and then, you pull in and get shut out for the 2nd straight night. So that atmosphere, watching the guys get their degrees pregame, they're out in their caps and gowns, walking to home plate to get introduced before first pitch, and then, okay, put the uniforms on and go get that sweep.
That's pretty cool. All right, so, Brian, now it's tournament time, and it is double elimination, right? I'm trying to figure out, you're going to play Wednesday, you're going to play Thursday, that's for sure, and Wednesday it's at noon, and it's the Southeastern Lions. You lost 2 of 3 in the series just, you know, a little bit ago, about a month ago or so, in April. What can you take from that, or is you look at it as, hey, the way this team is sort of playing right now, you're kind of looking forward to getting 2 games at least.
Yeah, maybe discounting New Orleans, you couldn't have a more refreshing regional rivalry than Southeastern and Nichols because of how familiar these two teams are. And Coach Tibb gets his break in Division I coaching at Southeastern. That's where he started his career. And, you know, pregame, when Southeastern and Nichols play one another, you almost feel like you're at a neutral site because you have so many fans that go back and forth, and it's just a really warm atmosphere. Now, once the games get started, they've been pretty intense and pretty crazy. But I think that's what's beautiful about this matchup is these two teams know one another inside out. Southeastern is hot. Nichols beat them in Game 1 back in the 3rd week of April, and then they turn around. They win a doubleheader against Nichols. They're 11-3 since that loss. It would be easy to argue that they are the hottest team entering the conference tournament. They've had pitching and defense all year, but now their bats have come alive in the last 3 weeks. So they've been able to stabilize their offense. They're still getting great pitching, and it'll be a tough start to the tournament, but that's always the name of the game when you're playing a team that was in an NCAA regional last year and expect to be in one this year.
Brian, as always, man, appreciate you jumping on. And basically, I told you on Friday, we're probably going to talk again on Monday, and here we are, see?
We've talked on 4 straight days on the Gus Kattengill Show, and I think that's amazing. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
There it is. Brian Johnson, the voice of the Colonels. Brian Johnson, one, the way to follow on Twitter. Thank you as always, man. Appreciate it. You know, it's interesting when you look at it. I love the fact that obviously everything sort of matters and means things. It's just, again, not used to kind of going into conference tournament play with a lot of these teams and just hoping that you can get in postseason action. But it's the beauty of these tournaments. You win the tournament, you're in. Hour 2, we'll speak with Alex Asaro from Neutral Grounders, and we'll kind of look at what each team sort of has to do. It's kind of obvious with a lot of them. You have to win the tournament. But we'll touch on that. And then in Hour 3, Marlon Favorite, Cody Worsham, Dino Hanson, Todd Graffanini. When we come back, I promise you'll hear from Cam Jordan, if you're New Orleans Saints. It's the Sports Hangover. Hour 1 was brought to you by the King Firm. Ring the King, 504-909-KING. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Ooh.